Well, friends, let's turn our minds and our hearts to Scripture. We're continuing our studies in Philippians in chapter 4, and we'll begin to read from the start of that chapter, a passage which by now is becoming familiar, I'm sure, to us, but that's good. It's always good to hide God's word in our hearts. So beginning at verse 1, Philippians chapter 4, "Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia, and I entreat Syntyche, to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women, who have laboured side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." And this is the word of God. I'm sure many of us will have heard the phrase, peace dividend. I did a wee bit of digging to find out where the phrase had really come from, and I was surprised to discover that it had been popularized by two political leaders. It had been popularized by Margaret Thatcher when Prime Minister, and also by George H.W. Bush when he was the President of the United States. They had both spoken about a peace dividend, the economic and social benefits of a country not being at war. And most recently and locally, the results of the Good Friday Accord and the peace process in Northern Ireland, the economic development that resulted from the cessation of certainly most of the troubles for which that period had become known, brought some real dividends, peace dividends, to the people of Northern Ireland. But this morning, I want us to think about a very personal peace dividend. You know, over these past Sundays, when we've been looking at the preceding verses which we read here this morning, we saw Paul giving us three very clear directives from verse 4 through verse 5, then on into verse 6, which we looked at last Sunday morning. He called us to rejoice in the Lord always, to rejoice in who our Father is, rejoice in what his Son has done, and to rejoice in the hope that is ours in Christ Jesus. Paul also calls us to be people who are reasonable. Reasonable in the sense that we can be reasoned with. We're gentle, we're merciful. We're not the sort of people who always have to have it our way. We can listen to others. People who are seeking to be like Christ. And as we do so, remembering that he is at hand. Not only by the Holy Spirit's presence in the believer here and now, but also in the reality that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And then, having looked at those directives last week, as I said, we came to verse 6. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We're called to bring, instead of being anxious about anything, to bring everything to God in prayer, to give thanks in all circumstances. Now, I don't know, perhaps last week some of you, as you heard me come to this passage, would have imagined that I would then continue on into verse 7, that verse which says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." But I want us this morning to be able to take time in this verse, to see that in a very real sense, peace is the dividend that comes from following these directives that Paul has given, of rejoicing, of being reasonable in our gentleness to the world around us, in our dealings with others, and in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Friends, look with me this morning at the peace dividend that is ours when we follow that which God has taught us in his word. The peace of God, says Paul. What is peace for the Christian? Well, peace in a very general sense, some would say, would be the absence of conflict. Remembrance Sunday there is only, as it were, two Sundays behind us. And we would thank God for the peace that has been, the lack of conflict, certainly here in Western Europe. But peace is more than the absence of conflict. It's not even just a sense of calm. For that sense of calm can be disrupted and shattered in a moment, whether by some trauma or simply a very loud toddler coming running into a room. And suddenly the peace that you may have been enjoying has gone out the window. No. Peace for the believer, peace for the Christian, is the settled state of knowing that we are right with God. This is a peace that is ours, both present and future. You know, there are some who imagine that the only real dividend of the Christian faith is, as it were, an insurance policy to get us into heaven when we die. But friends, because we have peace with God, not only do we have that sure and certain hope of that place which the Lord Jesus Christ has gone to prepare for us, not only do we have that, but we have the peace of God to enjoy here and now. Oh, friends, the peace that the world gives is dependent on circumstances. The peace that God gives is founded in the very character and nature of a faithful, sovereign, all-knowing, all-powerful God who has loved us so much that he was willing to give his only son so that whoever would believe on him would have eternal life. Friends, if you have put your hope and faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is how much he loves you. And as Romans 8 verse 32 reminds us, that he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? And from just a few verses earlier on in that same chapter, we are reminded of the peace that comes from knowing that God will work in all things for his glory and for the good of his children. But not only is this peace the peace of God, it's a peace, says Paul, that surpasses all understanding. Now, when Paul speaks here of understanding, he speaks of that which we can arrive at or deduce by reason or by investigation. Yet the peace of God, the peace that God gives, surpasses or transcends this, rises above anything that we could understand on purely a level of common human understanding. I can't help but remember the situation, and please forgive me this personal illustration. It was the 19th of December in 1981. My sister had been in hospital for a number of weeks. For 6 days, she had been unconscious. She seemed conscious, not of those who were around us in the room on that Saturday, but instead seemed conscious of another presence. Twice, she very clearly said, "Jesus, it's beautiful." It was really no more than half an hour later that a doctor pronounced what we knew. Her earthly life had come to an end, and she was in the presence of her Saviour. And I remember my dad asking if he could pray just after the doctor had nodded and said, "She's gone." My dad prayed. The doctor was weeping and saying, "I've never seen it like this. I've never seen it like this." Friends, in that room in Gartnavel Hospital, the peace of God, which surpasses and transcends understanding, was present. It's no wonder the world cannot see or understand this. In situations where the unbeliever panics, the believer can know peace. Yet there is not only a dimension here of this peace rising above that level of which we could understand, as it were, with our powers of reason. There is also a sense in which this peace is better than that. It's greater than that. Think about the way Paul uses exactly the same word in the previous chapter of Philippians, when in chapter 3 he writes, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." The sense that it surpasses all other things. Have you ever been in that position where you've cried out to God for understanding? You may have said, as I have said, if only I could understand God's purpose. Friends, I'll be perfectly honest. I cried that out when my sister, who had been on the mission field for 18 months and had come home unwell and was with the Lord within a matter of weeks. I couldn't understand God's purpose. I couldn't see it. I cried out, if only I could understand. You know, friends, I couldn't truly say, "Oh, well, the Lord then showed me what his purpose was in taking my sister to be with himself." No. But what I can tell you as a relatively young Christian in my early 20s, I experienced a sense of peace from God that I had never known before that point. A peace that truly can be better than even understanding. You know, the world can't get that peace. It is God's peace. He alone can give that peace. But having seen what this peace is, a peace that transcends, surpasses our understanding, let's look now at what this peace can do. For Paul says, this peace guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Try to put yourself in Paul's shoes. He's a prisoner. There's a guard. And that guard was there not only making sure that Paul didn't escape, but if you recount from the book of Acts the number of times that the Jewish leaders wanted to have Paul put to death, it's not at all unreasonable to imagine that that guard was also there, offering a sense of security for Paul. He is, after all, a Roman citizen. He has appealed to Caesar. And he has a right to security while waiting for his case to be heard. And security is exactly the thought behind Paul's use of the word here. Just as the Roman guard guarantees Paul's security while captive, the peace of God will guard and secure our hearts and minds from the fears and from the anxieties that can so quickly well up. You know, the Psalms speak often of how God is our shelter, our refuge, our stronghold, our fortress. Friends, when we read those words in Scripture, we're not thinking, as it were, of running into some citadel that God will provide for us to give us safety. No, these are blessings that are ours as his children. And just as Paul speaks about this guarding of our hearts and minds. We're reminded that in Christ we have that shelter, we have that refuge, that fortress, that rock of ages in whom we can hide. But having thought about this peace that protects and guards our hearts and minds, then let's think about what Paul says this peace is guarding, our hearts and our minds. When Paul speaks of the heart, well, we know he's not referring to simply that physical muscle, very complex muscle within our hearts, at the very heart of our circulation. No, he's using language the same way as we would use that heart so often to speak of the seat of our emotions. He's referring to our emotional state. You know, so often, when faced with fear or uncertainty, our emotions can get the better of us. And our emotions then feed on the anxiety, creating a vicious circle. And some of you are blessed to not have a clue in terms of personal experience about what I've just said. But I suspect there are some of you know that vicious circle, that spiral down, where our fears and anxieties grip our hearts. And friends, God's peace is there to break that cycle, to guard our hearts, to give us peace in our hearts rather than pain. But you know, anxiety doesn't just churn up our hearts. It can also really mess with our minds. Anxious thoughts can wreak havoc with our mental state. You know, for some of us, that little don't worry, be happy, it's truly the nonsense that it truly is. Because all too regularly, we do worry. We're filled with worry, often about things that we can't change. Yet Paul calls us here to find in Christ the peace of God that can guard our hearts and our minds so that we can rest in Him and know this peace, this surpassing, all transcending peace. But where does this peace come from? In Christ Jesus. Guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. These blessings cannot be ours outside of Christ Jesus. The hearts and minds of God's people are guarded in the safety and security that Christ Himself gives to each one of us. the Lord Jesus Christ who said that no one will snatch you from my hand. No one will snatch you from my Father's hand. This security, this safety is ours in Christ. If we were to continue with the analogy, as it were, of a guard and the security that that guard provides, then Christ Jesus himself is presented as the stronghold in which our hearts and minds are kept safe from all the damage that our anxiety can do to them. And how do we find our way into this refuge, this shelter, this stronghold, this tower, this peace that we are guarded with? Through rejoicing. Through seeking to rest in Christ and the knowledge of his presence with us. And through prayer. Through prayer. That's how we enter that strong tower, that shelter. So summing up, Paul has said that all these blessings, the peace of God, guarding our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, are in him. What does it mean then to be in Christ Jesus? Well, in order to be in Christ Jesus, we have to be born again by God's Spirit. We have to be baptized into Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And we have received all the benefits and blessings of sonship. To be sons of the living God. To know that we no longer stand condemned before God on account of our sins. Friends, those of us with tender consciences that at times the devil would come and would cast up past sins before us. And how we need to simply be reminded and remind him that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Isn't that good to know? The sins that perhaps only I know I've committed. Sins that only you know you've committed. In Christ, there is now no condemnation. Or you may be troubled by your past. And you wonder if you could ever leave your past behind. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 tells you yes. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So friends, this morning as I close, and I want this finally to be finally, I want to ask, are you in Christ Jesus? Have you come in repentance and faith to God and put your trust in Christ as the sacrifice for your sins? Do you follow him? Do you live for him? For then and only then can you know the peace which surpasses understanding. But believers this morning, who are in Christ, are you, as it were, taking these blessings for yourself? Laying hold upon the promise that this peace of God, which is ours as we come to him, is ours to be known and to be experienced not just these years of time alone, but for all eternity. Friends, let us be in Christ. Let us know the blessings of being in Christ. And after a brief prayer, let us sing these wonderful words. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ, I stand. Let's pray. Our gracious Father and our God, we thank you that through your Son and his sacrifice, we have peace with God. Father, what a privilege it is to know Christ as Saviour, to be indwelt, to be sealed by the Holy Spirit, to be able, Father, to rejoice in all circumstances, to be reasonable people in the knowledge that Christ is with us and Christ is coming and all things are in his hands, and to be a praying people, not being anxious about anything, but in everything, bringing our prayers, our requests, our intercession to you. And how we bless you for that peace, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding and guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. For the many blessings and benefits that are ours, we thank you. And Father, may you work in us that which is pleasing to you by your grace and for your glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Friends, now let's sing together, In Christ Alone. Thank you.